This is the Preservation Technology Podcast, bringing innovation to preservation. The Preservation Technology Podcast is a production of the National Center for Preservation Technology and Training, a unit of the National Park Service.
My name's Catherine Cooper. I'm here with
Stephanie Park.
And we are at Jim Henson Boyhood Exhibit,
Birthplace of the Frog,
in Leland, Mississippi. Can you tell me a bit about this museum and why it's in Leland, Mississippi?
Jim Henson was not born in Leland. He was born in Greenville. I don't think Leland had a hospital at the time. But his father was a research scientist at Stumble, which is an affiliation with Mississippi State University. He had a PhD in agronomy, and he worked out there from the time Jim was born until he was 12. They had moved here from the University of Iowa. After he finished his research project here, they moved to the University of Maryland, and that's where Jim Henson actually went to college. But he spent the first 12 years of his life in Leland. He went through the fourth grade here, and then moved up to Maryland. And it is here because they wanted to do something to honor the native son, so to speak. And this started out as the Chamber of Commerce building. I don't know exactly the order how this came about, but I think they got the frog first, the big frog back there. And then people started bringing in their, for lack of a better word, stuff that had to do with Kermit and Sesame Street Muppets and the regular Muppets. And we got the family involved, or the family became involved. And that's how we got these two display cases. Those were donated by the family, as were a lot of these pictures. And it just sort of grew into this. The chamber eventually had to move because we got to the point that we needed all the space. And here we are.
Jim Henson created the Muppets, and the Kermit in this display is special, correct?
Right. He's special because he was built specifically for us. It's a replica of the opening scene from the original Muppet movie. And it was built by the people who built the set for the original Muppet movie. So he's a one of a kind. And the animals behind you were also from the family. They are prototypes for a movie that came out in 1989 called Song of the Cloud Forest. It was a cartoon aimed at 3 to 6 year olds. On ecology. And I've tried to watch it. I can't really get interested in it, I guess, because it was aimed at 3 to 6 year olds and I'm in my 70s. You know, different viewpoint altogether. But the workmanship that went into those with the smocking and the detailed work, I think, is absolutely terrific. If anybody's ever done smocking, you have two basic kinds of smocking. The pulled smocking and then the English smocking, where they put it through a pleating machine. This is the pulled smocking. This is the hard kind to do. And he did it with one of his daughters. So they were handmade by Jim Henson and one of his daughters. To my knowledge, that's the only thing we've got here that he actually touched.
How did Jim Henson get involved in making Muppets?
He made Kermit out of one of his mother's old coats, and he liked puppets. His grandmother had given him a love of creating things. And he created Kermit, and he did it so that he could make different expressions. You know, marionettes, all strings, the expression stays the same. In fact, on most puppets, expression stays the same. But on the Muppets, with your hand in it, you could actually make smiles or frowns, and they had facial expressions. And if anybody looks at it and compares it, a Muppet to another type of puppet, that if it's pointed out to them, they'll realize the difference once they start looking hard.
Did he get permission from his mother to use her coat?
I would guess not at that age. I don't know. I don't think I've read that one way or the other. But I know when my son was pretty young, he didn't ask for permission to do anything. He might have been a very good child, though, and asked for permission. Who knows?
We always have this idea in our heads that it's Kermit Green.
Right.
So I'm assuming that coat was Kermit Green.
All right, if you look back there, the picture of the two Kermits, the one on the right was the original. He lives in the Smithsonian now.
Okay.
And I think he's a little bit lighter than the other one. And I don't know what the reason for the color change was. Maybe that was the one on the left was as close as they could get to that. Mm-hmm. But if you're from anywhere in the South, we have those green tree frogs. Mm-hmm. And I personally think that's what he's based on. I might be dead wrong on that, but he looks like a green tree frog.
Yeah.
Same color as a green tree frog.
Jim Henson lived in or nearby Leland until he was 12.
Right. His dad worked at the experiment station out in Stoneville. And at that point in time, the campus out there was small enough that they had bungalows. And if you look at these pictures, you can see the little houses that were out there with the experiment station actually in the back. So he lived on the creek, basically, in Stoneville. Just about everything out there is affiliated somehow with Mississippi State University.
How did he turn his love of puppets into a career?
He didn't think he could. He thought that would not be a way to support a family, and he made a trip to Europe and saw the puppeteering going on over there. And when he came back, apparently decided, let's give it a shot. And he and his future wife did Kermit, and this little hard-headed puppet named Sam. And when he was still in college, I think this is correct, he had a 5-minute show before the Steve Allen show, which was the predecessor to Johnny Carson, just in the Washington, D.C. viewing area. And it was so popular, by the end of his college career, he had made enough money to buy a Rolls Royce to drive to graduation. A used one, but still a Rolls Royce. He found that he probably could make a living doing that, and pursued it. And of course, everybody's thankful for that.
Out of curiosity, how did he get involved with Sesame Street? Was that his brainchild, or did he get invited in?
He got invited in. There was a girl named Jane. She had seen Kermit, and she asked him to develop some puppets for Sesame Street that would interest the kids. And Sesame Street, they created it thinking that this would be a preschool alternative to inner-city children that didn't have access to preschool. And so they concentrated on the alphabet and counting and shapes and colors like you get in preschool. And then it just evolved from there. His first Sesame Street puppet was actually Ernie. And Ernie was followed by Bert, and then it just grew from there. And I think he developed, in fact, I know until his death, he developed all of them that were on Sesame Street. Now, Julia's come about since then, and a couple others.
Did he train other puppet makers and puppeteers?
He worked with a man named Frank Oz, who is still in puppetry, and according to his biography, yes, he did.
Why do you think the Muppets have had so much staying power? Because they still are part of our cultural consciousness.
Icon, yeah, absolutely. I think my opinion on that is that they catch the kids' attention. And the parents know that it's good television that they don't have to worry about the kids watching. Mm-hmm. And it's educational. It's come out in movie form and television. Originally, the Muppet Show at Night was produced in London because nobody in the United States wanted to do a puppet show for adults. They didn't think it would go over. But it did. It did very well. Actually, Europe got the Muppet Show a little before we did.
And Jim Henson continued to work with the European...
Right,
market.
He had an office in London, and he's got one. He had one in New York, and I'm going to say he had one in Los Angeles and Florida.
That's a lot of work.
All over, yeah. You know, everybody loves the Muppets.
How long have you been working at this museum?
I want to say since 2014.
What made you start?
They needed somebody, and I had just retired, and I had figured out that I didn't like keeping house. They contacted me after I'd been retired about 3 months, and I thought, that would be fun. A whole lot better than wrestling with third and fourth graders, or eighth graders, or whatever I happened to be teaching at the time. I started coming over here part-time, and I've been here ever since, and meet absolutely fascinating people.
Do you mind telling us a couple stories of fun or favorite interactions you've had since working here?
We haven't had as many since COVID hit because of the ban on tours, basically. But I've met some really interesting people from overseas. Last week, we had a couple from Switzerland. And we've had school groups. Usually the teachers end up enjoying it more than the kids, but the kids like it too, and we've got the little playroom for the kids, and the older kids can sit down and read.
So people come here from all over the world?
Literally. I thought it was very unusual the first month I've worked here. And then after that first month, when a third of the people, maybe, because it was during the summertime when I started, at least one third of the people were from overseas somewhere. I was just, wow. I had no idea that it was that far reaching until then. I knew that he was known worldwide, but I had no idea that they watched The Muppet Show and they watched Sesame Street and everything like our kids do. So that was enlightening. And then, like I said, nowadays, most the parents like this probably more than the kids do because they grew up with the Muppets and Sesame Street. Mm-hmm. And anybody, I guess, from 40 to about maybe 55, before they had just a huge choice like Nickelodeon and all that, that's what they watched. Mom and Daddy made sure of that, or Mama did. That's what they watched in the afternoon. We'd like to have more tourists now that people can travel again. And it's not that far off the beaten path. I mean, we're right on the main highway coming through Mississippi, and this is one of the three main bridges from Memphis down. And so we get a lot of people coming through here just to get to Arkansas or Louisiana or whatnot. And we are just right here.
What hours are you open?
From Labor Day until Memorial Day during the winter. We are open from 10 to 4. During the summer hours, during school vacation, we are open from 10 to 5. We take donations in the form of Sesame Street memorabilia, any kind of Muppet memorabilia at all, and we will keep it for the donor on display so people can see it.
Have people just walked in the door with donations and said, here?
Absolutely. In fact, we had somebody last week. And I came in one day, and if you look back on that display case with the black hair, Miss Piggy, I came in and there she was. I've never seen one like that before. But we have people coming in several times a year. And we welcome them, and we will take care of the stuff and display it for them. And if they absolutely want it back, we'll give it back to them. Yeah, we encourage anybody, because some of the things are just absolutely fascinating, and since they started producing it, which I would guess would be since maybe 1965-ish, there's no telling how much has been produced on Sesame Street and the Play on Muppets.
Thank you so much for talking with me today.
This was a presentation of the Preservation Technology Podcast, produced by the National Center for Preservation Technology and Training. To find more podcasts like this one, please visit our website,